All right, I am Haggai Davis III, co-hosting with Haggai Davis II, and we would like to welcome you to Tech Gumbo. Our show is a conversation with the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. Tech Gumbo is brought to you by Cardinal Capital. Cardinal Capital connects businesses to capital. Doesn't matter what business you're in, Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the U.S. that are willing to help fund organizations of all life cycles, life sizes, categories, and location. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package you need to achieve your business goals. Whether you are looking to refinance your current debt to take advantage of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or you're trying to finance new equipment, maybe you're trying to expand your existing business or acquire another one, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. Banks seek out Cardinal Capital to help them with the loans that they cannot do. The Cardinal Capital guys are easy to work with and fun to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net. They'll be happy to help you with your commercial finance needs.
So each week, we take a listener question about a topic that was sent to us. And the question this week was, last week you guys talked about the calling cell phone companies to get out of your contracts. Listener wants to know, do you have any tips on how to actually talk to a customer service rep?
This is a great question. It is a universal experience that you are on the phone calling tech support, calling customer service, calling whoever, and it can be frustrating. It can be a pain. As a matter of fact, yes, we do have some tips on how to make your experience go a little bit better.
The first thing you need to know is when you're calling one of these big, huge corporations, they don't want to talk to you. They do not want to staff a call center. They do not want employees sitting around waiting to talk to you. So that's why you're going to get the recording that says, hey, have you been to our frequently asked questions page? Have you, you know, try and get you to do anything other than talk to somebody, because there's a billion people trying to call them and there's 100 people trying to answer the phone.
Yeah. So that's, it's a good idea to actually go look at the frequently asked questions website, you know, check out the company website, Google the error that you're getting. You know, one of the things you can do is to think about if you, one, really need to make a call, can you do it through text?
Because a lot of companies nowadays do or offer the text chatting, because it's easier for these companies to respond to multiple people when they're doing a text app. And they can help you, you know, a lot of times quicker and easier, because if you get on a phone call, it's going to take 5, 10, 20 minutes to resolve your issue. Whereas if, with the text system going back and forth, they might be helping 3 or 4 people simultaneously through a text app. So do consider that text, you're going to get a lot quicker response.
They also can just post the link to something. Maybe the issue that you're experiencing, there's a web page that you can go and it'll explain it all for you. Instead of them saying, okay, go to www. or whatever, they can just post the link and then takes you on your way. And so it is possible that this text chat thing actually is a useful function.
The next thing you want to know is make sure that you have the right phone number to call.
Sometimes they'll hide the important numbers. They'll post a number that is the here, call this number first, but that is their catch-all. It is broad. It is not very specific or maybe not very useful.
It's probably a bunch of recordings so that, you know, press one, you get this, and then, hey, press two, and I'll give you these examples, these recorded messages, how to resolve your issues. You know, a lot of times it's easier just to go ahead and Google, you know, the phone number to call. And Google will give you several different options a lot of times, because a lot of times those numbers change. But try that first.
Another really important thing to do is to be prepared. You know, have show that you have tried, look around, think about the error that you're getting. And then if it's producing a specific error message, if it's an error code or something like that, plug that into Google and see if someone else is experiencing it. Do some things. If your internet is out, look at your modem, look at your router, just anything you can do to take some steps ahead of time. And then that way, when you're actually talking to the person, you can give them that code. You can say, you know, I tried doing these things. And that way you build a little bit of reputability that you've actually tried. You're not just, oh, my computer was turned off.
Yeah, you want to help these people because they're triaging over the phone. They can't see what you're doing, what's going on in your surrounding. So if you can tell them, look, you're calling your internet service provider because your internet's not working right now. You can't get on the Wi-Fi. Okay, well, I'm looking at my modem. The modem has 4 green lights, but my router has 2 green lights and 2 yellow lights. Oh, okay, well, you know, it could just be as simple as recycling the power. And if it's a Windows issue, if it's a PC, have you rebooted your computer lately? It could be something as simple as that. So do a little bit, whatever you can in advance, so you're trying to help this person fix your problem. So you can say, I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried this. Okay, well, you're just helping that person check off the list because they're going through a triage list of what steps to do next. And so instead of them saying, okay, have you recycled? Yes, I recycled the power. And, you know, help them help you.
And when you're talking to them, keep calm and be nice to them. Whenever they say that they can't help you, it's probably not because they're just wanting to be annoying. It's probably because they actually don't have a whole lot of power in the first place. And if you are, you know, you're being calm with them, you're being polite with them, you are helping them help you, chances are they're much more likely to maybe put in a little bit of extra time to search through the company system to find the error, or more likely to pass you up to a manager who has more power or something like that. But anytime you need something from someone, in this case, they're trying to help you with your problem, if you can be calm and be nice, you're just going to get better outcomes.
And another key thing to try, when you call and they say we're getting more calls than expected, and so your wait time will be 15 minutes. If you would like, we can call you back. Take them up on that option. Instead of you sitting there on the phone listening to that on hold music, driving yourself crazy, let them call you back. You'll be in the same spot in the queue, and they will call you back. And you're usually in a lot better frame of mood by not sitting there stewing, listening to this callback, this music. You're listening. You're doing whatever you got to do, and all of a sudden your phone rings. Oh, look, it's tech support calling me back.
Oh yeah, there's nothing worse than sitting there for an hour and a half just like fuming. Why have they not answered me yet? Those sorts of things that help you go in with a calmer mindset are great things, just going to help you get better outcomes in general.
The last several things are all the things we talked about last week when calling in to try and, you know, get out of your cell phone plan. Take notes, know when to escalate. Escalation doesn't work. Get on social media. Boy, that's a sore subject for folks because they don't want their businesses talked bad about on social media. So do those kinds of things. Usually that will help get a reaction so that they may call you back and you can talk to a human.
We hope that was useful. You know, it's a common problem. So next time that you are experiencing one of those things, hopefully you think of us.
And so we hope you'll give us a text at 225-255-0431 with a question that's bugging you. And when you give us a question, we'll send you a really great looking coffee mug.
Moving on to our major story this week, news broke in the Washington Journal this week from Facebook that they have internal research which shows Instagram is harmful for teen girls and their body images.
Yeah, this Wall Street Journal article was really, really hard to get through because it talked about Facebook knowing that Instagram is just really damaging girls, young girls. That the fact that 40% of Instagram users are 22 years or younger.
That's a lot of really young people. And specifically, the research said that almost a third of teen girls said when they feel bad about their bodies, Instagram made them feel worse. Man, that's rough.
22 million teens log on to Instagram every day in the United States alone.
And they spend almost 50% more time on Instagram than they do on Facebook. So these teams are really spending a lot of time here, and Facebook knows that it is just, it's rough. The body image issues, these photoshopped images, the distorted realities, they're taking a toll on the young people, on Gen Z, because those people haven't developed the ability to sort this out yet and understand what's realistic and what's not.
Yeah, the whole concept came about when Facebook paid $1 billion for Instagram. And Instagram was just a tiny startup with 13 employees at the time, but they were growing and they were getting bigger and bigger. And Facebook said, hey, we want that. And so young folks have gravitated towards Instagram. Old folks like me have stayed with Facebook, kind of thing. It's just really when these girls start seeing images of what they should look like, and what they should be thinking, what they should be doing, and what they should be wearing, as opposed to reality, it's ripping these girls up.
And to make it worse, Zuckerberg, at a hearing in March of 2021, after this internal research was presented, said that, oh, the research that we've seen is that using social apps to connect with other people can have positive mental health benefits. And so if Facebook's not even being honest to the public about what the impacts of Facebook is, it's really hard to take them seriously when they say that they're going to do anything about it.
The fact that so many of these people are so excited about their selfies and gotta have that perfect picture, people running over the edges of cliffs because they want that picture, and then they fall, or they're, you know, out there in front of the waves of a hurricane taking selfies and doing ridiculous things. And then everyone else seeing them saying, well, gee, why am I not doing that? I should be out doing something stupid with my camera too. And then people get in trouble doing it because they don't know what they can handle and what they can't handle.
It's another problem, because whenever there's been official investigations in these sorts of things, Facebook has not made this research public. Facebook knows how many people, and specifically which people, are vulnerable to these types of things. Facebook has a tremendous amount of data about you and probably has some variable somewhere all attached to your profile where it could say, this person is more likely to have negative body image issues. This person is more likely susceptible to the types of things that we show them. Oh, let's show them something which would make them feel bad about themselves, and then show them an ad so they could buy something to make them feel better about themselves. That 100% is part of their business model, and it is terrible.
And teen boys are not immune either. A deep dive from researchers in mental health found that 14% of the boys in the U.S. said Instagram made them feel worse about themselves. And in 2020, Facebook researchers found more than 40% of teen boys experienced negative social comparisons on Instagram.
We've never had something like this before in human history. And it just so drastically distorts how interactions happen. And we haven't developed the hygiene, basically, the good rules and procedures of how to use these things. It's difficult. You know, these platforms weren't built to be healthy. They weren't built to have good interactions on them. They were just built to maximize profit. And we are crushing people at the expense of that.
Well, there is TikTok that's trying to help a little bit. They actually have rolled out a couple of features because of the Wall Street Journal report that said, where if you're struggling with mental health or thoughts of suicide, when you go to search for these things on TikTok, they show you not negative images or bad images. They bring you to places that can actually get you help.
Yeah, and that's a great feature. It's a bare minimum feature. And, you know, this isn't some great sacrifice on their part. This is probably pretty easy to implement, but we have to pat them on the back because this is groundbreaking in the field and no one else is doing this. And so that just shows how low the bar is here.
So speaking of how low the bar is, back in 2019, they first started with Accenture. paying them $500 million a year to try and help them clean up Facebook. And just the, I don't think anybody realized how big the cesspool is.
So the problem that Facebook either has opted into or faces, or however you want to describe it precisely, is that all content moderation on Facebook is ultimately done by a human. And that means every image that gets reported on Facebook has to be manually checked by a human. All of the worst things that get posted, all of the terrible, awful, gross, disgusting things, someone else has to look at them. And that's all they do. That's their whole job, is to sit there and just hour after hour, day after day, look and verify, yes, this is an awful thing that should be removed. And it is, again, crushing people.
So this kind of started back in the year 2007. Facebook started realizing there was a nudity problem. And every month, people started posting more naked photos. And so the Attorney General for the state of New York, Andrew Cuomo, required that the company take down these pornographic posts. And so Facebook created a team of people to start going through, you know, any kind of complaints and start taking out the bad pictures. And that was fine because Facebook in 2007 was not the behemoth with 3 billion users. They were barely over a couple of million at that point. Then we fast forward all the way up to the year 2015. Facebook is quite big now, and they started a project called the Honey Badger to try and start weeding, really taking a big, big swipe at getting rid of all of the garbage that's on Facebook.
Yeah, this is where their contract with Accenture comes in. And in 2015, it was about 300 employees. But it was so successful that by 2016, it had multiplied in size by 10 to over 3,000 employees. And it has continued to grow since then to the tune of $500 million a year, as you said earlier.
So that's when it, and look, they've got people around the world that are, you know, part of this project with Accenture. The problem comes in when these folks, after they've been going and seeing through the worst of the worst of the worst, they start experiencing a lot of really bad problems.
Yeah, panic attacks, anxiety, depression, all the sorts of things that you would expect after just showing someone only the worst of humanity on a loop nonstop. The problem is that this company, Accenture, doesn't really seem to care a whole lot. These people are paid minimum wage. They exist in small towns. And so it hops from small town to small town. And it's just really leaving a wake of people who are in a much worse mental state than they started.
In 2019, the website The Verge did a very in-depth story about the low pay and the poor mental health effects that this had just in an Arizona office. And it's just very disturbing.
Oh, and the worst part is the reaction of the company. So Accenture introduced a We Care program, which sounds good on the surface, but the problem is that the policy's limited mental health counselors' ability to actually treat the workers. Their titles were changed to wellness coaches, and instead of giving psychological assessments or diagnoses, they had to provide short-term support like telling people to take walks or listening to calming music. Hey, person, I'm sorry that you've just seen, 17 awful things in a row. How about some chamomile tea? That just doesn't cut it.
Yeah, here's a little smooth jazz and just go for a walk around the building. Get up from the desk if it's too much to handle for a minute and then come right back to it and keep on going because, hey, we're paying you $17 an hour.
If that, and these people's times are also very strictly regulated, like an Amazon warehouse. You know, this is not the high-end Facebook employees who have the freedom, the flexibility, and the wonderful pay and all the benefits. These people are paid, small wages, and they are strictly tracked. And it is rough. And this is a practice which just needs a lot of change. And Facebook is unmoved as of right now.
And part of the problem is because Facebook has 3 billion users. They're a $2 trillion company. And it's just really hard to turn the battleship around in the bathtub.
Yeah. And that also what is acceptable in America is different than what's acceptable in Sri Lanka. And so you need different policies in every place, and you need people who are from those places to understand the context of the actions. And it is difficult, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't do it.
And we will continue to follow this story and report back to you what we find. And we do want to thank General Informatics. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 70-plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula. So proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. The true testament to General Informatics' success, however, has been the strategic support of our clients' growth. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show, or you'd like to hear this or any previous episode, check us out as a podcast on almost every platform, including TuneIn, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Deezer, Player FM, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time we post a new episode. If you like our show, you have any suggestions, or have any questions, send us a text, 225-255-0431. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.